wish life was like more forgiving in the department where I should bring more to the table. I wish I was able. What can I do? The things I want to do. The things I want to do.
Remember, like, comment, share, subscribe, download today. Head over to the website, stresseddepressedanxious.com. There, you'll be able to get the links to all your favorite platforms to listen. You can send me voice messages, subscribe to the mailing list so that you can get blog posts, newsletters, and notice about giveaways. You can also leave comments on each of the episodes, which is super exciting because I always want to hear from you. You'll be able to see all my tweets from the website, and you can follow me on Twitter at SD_anxious. Like the theme song? That theme song is by Witified. That is WITIFIED. You can find her on Instagram for more. Thanks. Let's get into the episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Stressed, Depressed, and Anxious with your host, Local Neighborhood Baby. So today I have joining me Caitlin. She is the host of the Caffeine Podcast, a podcast that I personally subscribe to and love. Her perspective is super refreshing and riveting to listen to because it's rather different from mine. She's 19 years old and in college, navigating all of the perils of college life throughout a pandemic. She's dealing with things such as her finances, social life, and dating life as well. And it's so hard for me to even imagine what that would be like at a time like this. So hearing from her is really illuminating, and I definitely recommend everyone check out her podcast if you haven't already. Today we're going to be talking all about how she's pretty much managed to make it through all these different challenges and how she's keeping her mental health stabilized and tips to help you do the same. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome, Caitlin.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Caitlin, everyone, is the host of the Caffeine Podcast, a podcast which I personally enjoy so much. Caitlin, if you want to go ahead and tell everyone about your podcast and anything else that you have going at the moment.
Yeah. So I am the creator of Caffeine Podcast, where I talk about college and just stuff that I go through every day. I talk about just being a student during the pandemic, as well as stuff I've picked up on through life. So that's really all I talk about, as well as some coffee that I enjoy drinking. So
nice. I love caffeine myself, even though it's no good for me, especially with my anxiety. But I'm always drinking a coffee. So yeah. And how old are you, and where are you from, if you don't mind telling everyone?
Yeah, of course. I'm actually 19. I'm turning 20 soon, and I happen to go to school in Maine. So I'm like way up north.
Yeah. Where in Maine? Are you in Portland or outside of Portland?
I am kind of close to Portland, actually. I'm about 30 minutes away.
Okay.
It's not bad.
So it must be really cold there now.
Yeah, it's actually snowing right now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
I do miss the snow. I definitely miss it. I am originally from New Jersey. And
oh, yep.
Yeah, I grew up there. And then I, you know, lived in Florida for a couple years. And then I went to college in Boston. And then after that, I ended up being in Maryland and DC and all these other states. But I do love the winter. Right now I'm in Florida. I love the winter. I love the snow. But I wouldn't want to be experiencing it right now, where you're just kind of stuck in the house.
Yeah, it's rough. But it's actually, I don't know. Like, even though I'm stuck in the house during the pandemic, I love watching the snow. Even though I don't like doing any snow activities, I just love watching it.
Right. Does that lead to you feeling so like tired though? And like, 'cause that's what I'm thinking of. Like, you know, when it's wintertime, I tend to feel more of that, like, I don't know, seasonal kind of depression, I guess you would
Oh
call
my
it.
gosh. Yes.
Just because I'm so
100%.
tired. Yeah.
100%. Like I'm always so tired. Like I probably get up around 9 and then it gets dark so fast, and I go to the gym and stuff like that around 5, and when I get out it's like pitch black and I'm like, okay, so it's not even bedtime yet and we're already acting like it is. So
Yeah, your body just gets tired sooner. You feel lethargic. It's all like
yes.
dark outside. It's, you know, cold. And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, those are like the negative aspects, but snow is beautiful.
Yes.
All right. So, definitely, I wanted to have you on mainly because I think your perspective is so refreshing to me and so interesting to me. I know, just through looking at some of my audience demographics, that a lot of the people listening to my podcast are in my same age bracket. And I'm late 20s. So I, you know, a lot of the audience is late 20s, early 30s. And I'm 29 to be exact. And so I've went to college, I've graduated, and I didn't have to experience it, you know, fortunately, going through this tumultuous time. But listening to you and listening to you talk about that was like so eye-opening for me. And I feel like it's important to, you know, for everyone to know what it's like to be going through things like college and graduation and all these different major life events during a time like this. So I definitely wanted to hear your perspective. So just right off the bat, how has it been? How has everything been?
Oh my gosh. I can't even express how challenging it's been. I remember when we first got the call that the pandemic was shutting down our schools, and I was with my roommate and we get the email and all of a sudden it's like a zombie apocalypse just happened. Like literally everyone was freaking out. Everyone went to we have like a little market on campus for everyone to get snacks and just stuff like that. And I remember everyone was picking everything off the shelves. It was literally like a Black Friday sale at the mall. It was insane. And so ever since that happened, it felt like not only did my grades feel like they were dripping, but also my mental health.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like just being stuck during quarantine during the best time of your life, it was really kind of like, crap, where do I go from here? Like, what am I doing? So it was definitely a challenge and an adjustment, but I feel that during this pandemic, I didn't only learn a lot about myself, but I learned a lot about who I am as a student, which was really eye-opening.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that. How are you as a student? Because, you know, personally, one of the things I realized, I think when I was in high school, there was one class that I took, you know, virtually. And also when I was in college, there was like maybe a semester where I tried two classes virtually. And let me tell you, Caitlin, it was really tough. I found out that I am so much better in a classroom setting. As much as sometimes like I get bored in class and all that stuff, like I'm just so much better in a classroom setting. I don't personally like, and I know a lot of people do, I don't personally like online classes, even though there's that convenient aspect, you know. I just feel like it's not the same. And even taking classes where I feel like I need to be motivated and, you know, being around other students like physically. And being in a classroom setting keeps my mind, you know, kind of like in that mode versus like trying to do that online. I'm so easily distracted. I will start like surfing for other things and like not being focused. And I'm just personally not good at that. But how are you as a student? And, you know, how does that kind of pan out for you?
I'm actually the same exact way. I love being in the classroom because when I am either at home doing online classes, like how the pandemic first started, I was very distracted. I was very unmotivated. I was so tired and I just didn't want to do anything. But I feel that when I'm in a classroom, I want to learn more. You know what I mean? Like I want to keep learning. I want to enjoy the conversations with my fellow classmates and my professor. You know?
Right. It's especially in college, it's like so much more engaging to like, you know, be able to have that open classroom discussion. There's so much more you can get out of it. I even, you know, I really didn't even like the lecture style.
Oh, me either.
Classes. I like, you know what I mean? When it's you're learning and you're talking and you're discussing different topics, I feel like my mind just opens right up to absorb more information rather than just trying to listen to somebody speak, which is almost, you know, the same style as like doing something virtually.
Right. I feel like I remember it more when I'm in person and like learning it that way. I don't know why. I just feel like it sticks more.
Yeah, because it forces you to think and you ask your questions in real time. And as other people make different comments, you're more engaged, you know, and you're like focusing on that and thinking about, okay, well, this is my opinion. Well, this is how I'm seeing it. And I feel like it's just, I don't know, it just engages your brain more than just virtually. It seems like you're almost teaching yourself.
Right, exactly. I 100% where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough though. So in being that type of student, what's been your experience so far? Like, how have you kind of overcome that challenge?
So with going online, what I did for myself, it took me a while. It probably took about a month or two, but I would get all my assignments done because, you know, my professors were like, they didn't even know what was going on. They didn't know how to teach online. And so I had that kind of wiggle room to kind of figure my own crap out before like I really messed it up. So I ended up doing kind of like a goal for myself. So like I would set a goal every day. So whether that was making my bed or making sure I did this assignment, so that way I felt complete and able to take on a day. Just those little things to make sure I can push myself for the next goal.
That's really important to stay structured and stay organized. And you mentioned something that's really like, again, something that's like eye-opening. It's like, I know it, but you don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that these, you know, professors, teachers, whatever, what have you, are not prepared and, you know, to teach online. That wasn't kind of how they were prepared to do it anyway, because you, of course, you have your online professors in general that teach most of their classes online, but not every professor has ever, you know, done that. A lot of the professors I know, when I was going to college, some of them were just not even really that savvy, you know,
with technology.
So I can't even imagine how hard that adjustment period was and probably still is for a lot of teachers and educators in general. I mean, that must be really tough, not only for them, but also for their students.
Yeah, a lot of my professors, they weren't as tech savvy. Like I was in a math class and he has been at my school for years and years and years, and he's never had to teach an online class. So it was completely new to him. He had no idea what he was doing. So he ended up not doing any Zooms at all and just posted on what we use to like communicate with our professors and get our grades back and all of that. So he just posted our homework assignments and our lectures on that.
On like Blackboard or something?
Yeah, that's what we used at the time.
Yeah. I just can't even imagine that because math is just never been one of my strongest suits in school.
Oh, me either.
It would have been detrimental to me to have to do that online and really sort of not have that, in person, you know, getting help in real time, asking questions in real time. That's tough. Now, what's really, if you're in middle school, high school, elementary school or whatever, I think, you're getting a lower quality experience in education for right now. But like in college, I feel like that's dollars and cents, right? You're paying for that.
Yes, 100%.
Have there been any kind of tuition reductions, anything done in terms of pricing? Have they done anything in that way to account for the fact that you're not getting the experience that you really paid to get?
From what I know, so I'm in an apartment this year, but my old roommate, she was in the dorm rooms, and I know they did some type of refund check for people who had to either leave early or ended up getting COVID or kind of that down the road sense. And so there were some refunds checks given, and I don't think there was honestly anything other than that. But it's hard because I'm pouring all of my money into my education, and I'm kind of stuck paying my own rent by myself and paying all my books by myself. So I'm like, okay, like I barely could scramble a job this summer in order to pay for everything. So it's definitely difficult for a college student as well as any other student, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely difficult. I couldn't even imagine because, again, like when I went to college, I went out of state. So mm-hmm. to imagine, my first 2 years was at a dorm. So to imagine that situation and having to either A, get an apartment, or B, coming back home, which is probably what would have happened more than likely. And having to just kind of, I don't know, you have all these hopes and these aspirations and dreams of how it's going to be, and to have everything flipped on its head. I mean, that would have been depressing in and of itself. And, even being in that high risk situation and everything that's gone on with like jobs and losing jobs and not as many jobs because, restaurants and other jobs that a lot of college students really rely on to get those extra, dollars are just not operating or hiring at the capacity that they were before. I just can't even imagine how hard that must be and what a toll it must take on your mental health.
It definitely took a toll. Like before the pandemic started, my old job, they were shutting down the business. And so I was like, okay, I have all this time to really find a job. But right now I'm going to focus on school. And so when the pandemic hit around like probably early March, late February, I was like, oh, so I'm screwed. Like I have no job. I'm at home and I have rent to pay soon. That's great. Like, so it definitely took a toll. I was in a huge scramble trying to find jobs that were able to even hire me because not a lot of jobs were hiring because of COVID and the precautions. And honestly, I saw a lot of my friends get let go from their jobs. And it was just like, oh my gosh, who's going to take me in right now? Like, probably no one.
Yeah. I mean, that's horrifying. Like I said, how were you able to overcome that? Of course, other than getting a job or what have you, but mentally, how were you able to kind of adapt and sort of, overcome those challenges right when all that stuff was occurring?
What helped me mentally was having my family really just be there by my side and to remind me that this is happening now, but it will get better. Because I was really stuck in like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? I have all these issues piling up and all these situations, and I felt stuck because I couldn't do anything about it. So they just reminded me how this may be a challenge right now, but you will overcome it. And so that's what I really held on to. So what I did for myself mentally was, like I said earlier, those small little goals that I made for myself really helped me out, as well as I took time for myself to relax and do stuff that I liked. Like I do coloring books sometimes because it just relaxes me. And sometimes I read and that relaxes me as well. So just finding those small little hobbies and those goals that you want to overcome really helped me a lot.
Yeah, self-care is extremely important now more than ever.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear that you're engaging in that. I love adult coloring books myself. I used to order a lot of those and go to Michael's and pick some of those up. So yeah, I enjoy that activity too. So if anybody is wondering, you know, there are adult coloring books and they are a lot of fun and relaxing to do.
They're so much fun. Highly suggest.
Yeah. And reading too. Reading is an activity that I've always loved. So yeah, a good investment right now to anything that you can do to kind of escape all of your thoughts is great because we need it. Definitely need it. Now, 100%. Other aspects aside from school and like financially, you know, trying to, you know, overcome those challenges. What about other things like socially? Because I feel like that time of my life, when I look back at it, I mean, of course, you know, I was getting an education, so that was great. I was kind of scrambling through, you know, all the challenges of being a college student. But when I look back at that time in my mind, it's like a highlight reel of like all these different parties and like all the fun things that I kind of did in my college years, because I didn't have that sense of freedom. You're away from home and, you know, you're free to do your own thing around all of your friends. How has that been, you know, socially at this point? Because I know everybody is kind of avoiding each other.
Yeah. So I'm actually on my college field hockey team. I'm a goalie. And those girls really helped me out a lot as well. Like, we're one big family. And so having that support system at school was so helpful for me, because they're my girls. Like, I have that nice tight group of people where if I go with them to, say I have like a bad grade in math, I can go to one of them and be like, look, I really need help in this, or even just an emotional issue, mental issue, anything of the sorts, they always have my back. And I think all of us through the pandemic, we relied on each other a lot, because we weren't able to see each other as much because COVID, 6 feet, wearing masks and everything like that. So we really were able to be more closer because of the pandemic, I feel like. And then also it's been hard because I can only see a selected few of my friends, because we're trying to limit down, you know, who we see and who we come in contact with, because, you know, some people at my school may have COVID and I just don't know. So it's really hard to try and weigh in who do you see, who do you not see, who do I have a project with, who do I not have a project with that I have to get together with at some point. It's so challenging, but I feel like if you at least interact with someone socially at least like once a day, whether that's in person wearing a mask or your roommate or whatever the sorts, it really helps you like so much. And even though I'm not able to go to parties or anything like that, I was able to really cherish the moments I was able to see people.
I think it's so funny the way that, you know, that works, right? Is that you actually sometimes get closer to people because you see them less.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Like, I feel like, you know, those feelings of like missing my family or like appreciating them, or like, you know, whenever we talk on the phone and all those things, like I felt when I was in college too, a lot closer to them than when I was home and like wanting to rip my hair out, like, get away from me.
Yeah.
So that's funny, you know, how that works. It's so weird, but I'm glad to hear that you did have a support system. You do have a tight-knit group of people that you keep in touch with. And I like what you said about, you know, making sure that you kind of touch base with somebody, you know, on a pretty frequent basis, at least once a day. I think that's important too, because there were times, you know, especially during the weekends when everything was completely on lockdown, that I could spend an entire day and realize that I never even opened my mouth to speak. Like, I didn't talk to anyone.
Yeah. And like, I have a really tight-knit of a few girls that I talk to on a daily basis. And one of my friends, her and I were really our rocks for each other. And like, she will text me all the time. She's like, hey, how are you doing? And she just checks in on me mentally and emotionally. And I do the same for her, because her and I have gone through a lot together. And she was like, all of my memories of freshman year, I was with her for most of it. So we shared a lot of moments. And so going through the pandemic, we both knew that we still just had to be our rocks for each other, because no one else was going to do it besides us for each other.
That's beautiful. I love, you know, having good friends like that, that you can rely on and that they can rely on you. And of course, it's especially important now to have those people in your life. Is there a highlight so far of this year? I know this year just started. We're currently in February. But what's your top highlight of this year so far? Anything great happen, or anything remotely good
happen? Oh, I don't know. So when I went back to school last week was my first week. And that week was a roller coaster. It was an emotional and mental roller coaster. But when I was emotionally and mentally down on myself, my roommate and our friend upstairs, who lives in the apartment upstairs, they took me out and we went sledding with a few of the other field hockey girls. And we blasted some music. We were on campus at like 7 o'clock at night, just sledding. And it was so much fun.
That sounds like fun.
And mentally and emotionally, my thoughts just went away. And I was just able to have so much fun with my girls.
That sounds like an awesome time, actually, sledding.
I know. I'm 20 years old, sledding down like a little freaking mountain. And I was just like, okay.
No, are you kidding? I did that as well. I did that when I was in college. We used to go sledding. And it's just the fun of winter, honestly. It's just,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, again, like those moments still happening where you have people who can kind of help you get out of a mental funk that you're in, are still so important. And it's good to hear that, you know, that's still happening, even if it's on like a smaller scale.
Mm.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, with your mental health, is there any particular mental health illness that you suffer from, or is it just, you know, you maybe just deal with mental health in general, like everyone?
I was not diagnosed with either depression or anxiety, but I feel that I do have tendencies of anxiety. I know when I get really nervous, I have many anxiety attacks and panic attacks. And I had one probably almost a week ago. And I was with one of my two best friends, and they both looked at me and they just saw me start shaking and start crying. And they were there for me. They helped me talk through it. They were very calm and understanding with just me having my little breakdown, but that's normal.
That's great. Again, great. I mean, what advice, because I think that, you know, from talking to you, it's very evident that you have a great support system, you know, which is so important. You have your parents there who are able to back you up and let you know this is kind of a temporary thing and to keep your head in the game, you know, basically. And you have all of your friends, you know, of course, who are there and support you and all that good stuff. So what advice would you give to someone who maybe doesn't have that type of support system? Any advice for them that, you know, if they're in college or something like that and around your same age, how can they, do you have any advice for how they can navigate everything that's going on? Because sometimes people I remember like a lot of people will talk about the fact that in high school and things like that, they maybe didn't have a lot of friends, but in college, it's a thing that's said, you know, that the friends that you make in college are kind of more lifelong friends. And so not having that opportunity to meet a lot of people might be challenging for some other people. But yeah, what's your advice for those who don't have the same kind of support system?
My advice would be to really remember your self-care and your self-worth that you know you have, and the fact that you are so worth it in the end, and to be able to, either if you're really close to a professor, you can always talk to a professor. I know I have before, and that really helped me, because my freshman year, I was going through whether I wanted to change my major or not. And I didn't really talk to anyone about that, because it was just more of like, did I really want to do it for the time being? Or do I really see a future in this possible career? And so I talked to my advisor, and that person really helped me through that challenge. And so I really suggest making friends with some of your professors. I know I have. And being able to discuss where you are mentally and emotionally. I know I'm a community health major now, and a lot of my professors are advocates of, if something is going on mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, any of the sorts, to reach out and always talk to them. They're always welcome to hearing what you need from them. And that was very helpful for me. So I really suggest doing that, even if it's like, if you're in high school, doing that with your teachers. I did that in high school too. It was so helpful.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's great advice, actually, speaking up. That's something that I've always struggled with, you know, to be honest, especially when I was younger. I always struggled with speaking up whenever I was going through kind of like a mental health, you know, crisis, if you will, just not feeling like myself or feeling super, super depressed or what have you. Like, I struggled with speaking up because I felt, you know, I don't know, that I just felt like nobody would understand, and that, you know, you feel kind of embarrassed by it for whatever reason. So I struggled with speaking up and letting other people know, and I pretty much tried to bury it, which never panned out well. So that is great advice, is to find someone you trust, especially someone, you know, like a teacher, like a professor, and let them know what you're going through. And maybe, you know, they can take certain things into consideration and be there for you and all that good stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah. I suggest, even though it's scary, like, guidance counselors, when, like, in middle school and high school, were, oh my gosh, they helped me through a lot. And I was like, all of my friends say I'm really outgoing, but honestly, I feel like I'm so shy when it comes down to meeting new people and stuff like that. So what helped me was either going in there with a friend, or sometimes I would just bottle it up until I couldn't take it anymore and I had to tell somebody, and it happened to be either a teacher or my parents.
Yeah, that's definitely 100%. I agree that that's super, super important, is to talk to someone about it. Because keeping those feelings bottled up makes it worse, you know, in the long run. The more you're already headed down that line of negative thinking, if you keep it bottled up, the worse it tends to get, at least in my experience. So definitely finding someone to talk to. Even in college, I know that was actually when I started to even get into therapy and going to therapy. So if your college offers that, that's something to take advantage of as well. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, online therapists now. And if you are able to take advantage of that, that's even another avenue to go through. I don't know about anyone else, but it's the same thing as online classes for me. I can't really get into it, to be honest. I have to be there with the person physically, and like, I don't know. It's just something that feels more authentic to me. But if that's your thing, then, you know, there's a lot more convenient methods now to see a therapist. And like you mentioned, talk to a guidance counselor or your teacher or professor.
Yeah, like, this is kind of going to sound funny, but I saw on TikTok that people were offering therapy sessions, and you could sign up easily. and you would just describe what your mental health situation is for you personally, and they will find the right therapist for you. And I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, because I feel that with this whole pandemic, a lot of people are falling into that mental health situation where they're like either going through depression, anxiety, or just really having a hard time getting past the pandemic and being by themselves in quarantine, you know?
Yeah, that's been the hardest part for a lot of people, is being by themselves in quarantine. That loneliness can set in, and that kind of Groundhog Day feeling can set in when every day is exactly the same and you really don't have anything to look forward to. You feel directionless, like all those things can really weigh you down. I know they have for me in the past, and still sometimes now, you know, even when I look kind of, I think I talked about it the last episode, where, you know, starting of this year, usually every year I have resolutions, kind of have like a clear sort of set of goals that I want to accomplish throughout the year, and like things that I want to do. And I have like a clear vision for the year. Now, even if that doesn't pan out, you know, it is what it is, but I have a sense of direction. And I think coming into this year, one of the things that like depressed me a bit was not really having a sense of direction, not knowing where life would go next, because you don't really have a clear vision of even where the world will go next. You know what I mean? So that was kind of depression. So I can't even imagine for a college student, you know, looking forward, because you're always kind of looking forward, okay, when I graduate and all these things, the worry that might be setting in about, you know, even being able to get a job in your field, what that's going to look like. Because a lot of these careers don't really look the same right now. I mean, even when you talk about, because I was pre-law, you know, so even when you talk about the court system and being an attorney, and, you know, now you're doing things through Zoom, you're doing depositions through Zoom. I mean, it's just so different, you know?
It's crazy. Like, through my school, you can do, it's called practicum, where my school does it, but it's basically an internship, and I did it in the middle of the pandemic, and it was so different because I was under a speech and language pathologist, because that's what I want to be after graduate school and after everything. And it was so different because you had to call in first, and there were so many protocols that we had to take in order for everyone to feel safe. Temperatures had to be taken, making sure that everyone was COVID tested. A lot of the things that, you know, are presented today through this pandemic, we really had to make sure we felt followed through on. Like, I had to get a flu shot in order for me to continue doing the internship, so that way everyone was safe.
Right. And, you know, that's not something that you kind of go in expecting, and not knowing where. I mean, for me, I've always subscribed to the notion that it's really hard. I think it's really hard to ask people to suffer through something when they don't know exactly when that suffering will end.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Other instances in my life, I've gone through like really hard things. But what's always helped me is kind of having an idea of when that suffering will end. Once I get to this point, I'll be done with this, you know? And that's always been like a really good coping mechanism for me. And so with this whole situation, I think for a lot of people too, another struggle is not knowing when it's going to end, what's going to happen, and how it'll permanently change things or not. I think those are like big, you know, situations where you just don't, I don't know, you don't have a clear line of what's going to happen and how to plan for it.
100%. Like, I am somebody who's very go with the flow, but I also don't like to have the unknowns. I would rather have the answers, you know, like with the whole pandemic, there's a lot of unknowns. And I feel like not only myself, but I feel like a lot of people struggle with that, because, you know, I miss being able to be social and hang out with all of my friends and being able to go out on the streets without a mask or worrying if anyone had COVID. And it's really hard with those unknowns. I still struggle with them, even in my future career and my future plans. All those unknowns are a little worrisome, but for me, what I try to remember is that tomorrow is always going to be a new day and new things are going to be presented.
Right, right. There's like two lines of thought, right? It's like, you know, for me, it's okay, well, you could go down the path technically of thinking, okay, I'm pouring all this money into my college education. There's no clear view of how this career will even pan out, you know, which has always been a thing. But like, especially now, we don't know, you know, what state the economy will be in and like, whatever.
Right.
Or you can go down the line of thinking, look, if you're able to get through all of this, you can pretty much get through anything. Anybody who has or will manage to, you know, become a college graduate at this point with everything that you're going through, you could handle anything. And, you know, it's clear that, you know, your generation is definitely a strong one to have to, you know, deal with all of this and dealing with uncertain things in general, you know, because if you have the wherewithal and you'll have the mental capacity to deal with all of this on top of everything else, getting used to not knowing, I think is something that's very valuable, right? Because you won't have so much. I feel like this is kind of a conditioning period, and you maybe won't have so much of a fear about not knowing things in the future. So that's like a positive thing, you know, positive way to think about it.
Yeah, I feel like with all the uncertainties that we are feeling with the whole pandemic, as well as growing up in the pandemic, I feel like you said, it's only going to make us stronger and only going to make people like me who are college students going through this, I'm going to be able to come out and be like, I survived a pandemic. I survived going to college where no one could really see each other. And that was a difficult time period for me. And I could relay that on to my future kids, possibly, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of knowledge to be able to have. Like, look, you know, you can get through all of these types of situations. I mean, that's huge. That is really huge. So yeah, that's great, I think. Interrupting the episode for our reoccurring segment, The Worst, in which I tell you the worst thing that's happened to me since the last episode. Let's get into it.
The fucking worst.
Now, I do a segment in the show, and it is called, you know, This is the Worst, where we talk about the worst thing that happened since the last episode. And this week, I'm glad to have you on for this segment. I really started this segment because I think it's a free expression for me to kind of like rant about things I'm like upset about or annoyed about or like whatever.
Oh, 100%. I love this already. I'm already down.
So we're going to kick it off with you. What's the worst thing that's happened to you in this last week or so?
So this past week, I started college. I started getting back in the swing of things. So that's already hard. But my now ex-boyfriend and I ended up breaking up of 8 months, which was definitely hard on me. Him and I cared for each other and loved each other a whole lot, but it just ended up not being our time right now. So that was definitely something I had struggled and am struggling with right now. Just finding myself again and finding the groove of everything, going through college, getting my stuff done, working on the podcast, you know what I mean? So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, but we're flying through it. We're trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, that must have been extremely tough. I mean, listening to your podcast, I remember, I think, your first episode was actually recorded with him. So, it's shocking to hear that, that situation has ended. Now, that's a normal thing, obviously. Relationships, there's a lot of ups and downs, and things may not work out. But going through a heartbreak during this time must definitely be the worst. And I truly feel for you. And of course, this is, something that you'll, if you can survive all the other things that we talked about, you'll definitely be able to survive this. But in the meantime, that self-care that you mentioned, I hope that you are in fully indulging in that. And just don't pay attention to any of that Valentine shit that might be coming up.
Him and I were best friends going, and we talked for about 4 months before we ended up dating, and we literally talked throughout this entire pandemic, and we were really there for each other. And now trying to figure it out by myself again, it's kind of going through that mental and emotional heartbreak all over again, just having to be by myself. But my roommate has been such a supporter in trying to help me find myself again, and being able, there were no hard feelings. Him and I were very mutual with each other. I will always have care and love for him, but it just ended up not being right now, and that's totally fine. That happens. And I wish him all the best. And he's a college student as well, so I can imagine him going through, his classes. He has his own podcast too, so it's kind of like we're going through the same stuff, trying to figure it all out again.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. I think that sounds like a more mature ending of a relationship than not. To hear that you still have love for him and you support, his endeavors moving forward, that's nice to hear. I mean, at 19 years old, that's amazing. I definitely would not be. I was not anywhere near your maturity level, when it came to relationships at 19. N anywhere near. This would have been a story of like, oh, nasty breakup.
Yeah, no, I've had a few of those. I've had a few of those. But I think that being able to have that friendship before even getting into a relationship kind of helped us in a way, because we knew how we were with each other and before we even got together. So I think just that mutual respect and understanding for one another, we were able to be very mutual with it. And we both have so much care and love for each other that the respect is like 10 times more with that alone as well. So
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, still the worst.
yeah, heartbreaks are always the worst.
Heartbreaks are just
I'm not gonna
the
sugarcoat it. It's the
worst.
worst.
Yeah. This is your forum to say this, that is the worst. But you will get through it.
Right.
So, I mean, I've had some the worst moments, but before I talk about that, because I saw something this weekend that like made me go, what the F? Like this person definitely has it the worst. I mean, I didn't even ask for submissions really this week of
Yeah.
embarrassing moments or anything like that, because after seeing that video, I was like, whoa, like this takes the cake. So if you don't know, I mean, this video has kind of gone viral, but they're calling her Gorilla Glue Lady. Have you heard
Oh,
of
I
this?
don't think I've heard of this.
Okay, so be prepared to have your mind blown.
Oh gosh, okay, I'm
So,
ready.
on TikTok, there is a user. She's, I think she's under, let me look it up right now. It's D Lady, the old lady, or something like that. I'll spell it out for you guys, on the episode notes. But she posted a video saying that she was basically showing her hair, which was in a slicked kind of ponytail, and she was saying how it's been that way for the last 4 months, or no, the last month. And she goes, it's not by choice. She said that she normally, you know, sprayed, you know, hairspray to keep her hair kind of slicked back. But she ran out of hairspray. So she used Gorilla Glue spray, heavy duty.
Oh, no.
Of her hairspray. She sprayed it all over. Now her hair looks perfect. But when she touches it, I mean, it is not moving one inch. It is clear that that glue has, like, been so stuck on her head that it looks like if she attempted to do anything in terms of removal, to me, it looks like her scalp is probably going to peel off. Now, right. She was
talking. Honestly, her hair must be so crispy. I can't. Yes.
Yeah, she demonstrated that she washed her hair. You know, she said she's washed it about 15 times. It hasn't come off. And she even demonstrated in a video her washing her hair. It does absolutely nothing. Not one hair out of place. And it was insane. She did a follow-up that she went to the ER.
Oh, my gosh.
The ER, unfortunately, with COVID and everything, seems to me that, I mean, they weren't even able to keep her there. Okay? They gave her acetone wipes and sterile water and told her to continue to rub that across her hair.
Oh my gosh.
Unbond it. But her sister posted a TikTok of her, you know, doing that, and it looked like it burned her so badly. And it was just, it looks so painful. Still, nothing has happened in terms of her hair. Everybody's kind of patiently waiting for an update. I know I am. And I'm like horrified, concerned. When you watch the video, you can't help but laugh, but it's also like horrifying and terrible. And her name is Tessica. But yeah, I feel horrible for her. I mean, that is the fucking worst.
That's honestly gotta be the worst. I can't imagine. I'm kind of attached to my hair, so, and I feel like most women are very attached to their hair, so I can't imagine just having it slicked back and so crispy and not being able to do anything. This, and also having it burn, like, ouch, like, what? I can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just terrible. And I feel like if she would have tried the acetone and, like, you know, whatever, like if she would have tried those solutions maybe earlier on, maybe there would have been some kind of hope. But like, it's been over a month, like she said, and so I just think that, like, she's royally screwed.
That's awful.
You can't even shave it off. Like, you cannot.
No, you can't. Like, that stuff is stuck. Gorilla glue is tough glue. Like, there is no way getting out of that one.
Not to mention it has toxic properties. I mean, it's been on her head, on her scalp, and like, it's not safe for your skin, as a PSA. So like, that is also concerning. And, you know, I just feel overall terrible for her. That's the worst for sure.
No, honestly, that, like, tops the cake of probably any story I've heard. That is the absolute worst.
Yeah, yeah. So my this is the worst moment was because my work best friend, she quit, you know, and this past week was kind of lonely without her being there. So that was kind of the worst for me because my job is really, really high stress. And I manage a lot of different projects. I work at a tech company. My boss is like, have you ever seen Hell's Kitchen?
Oh, God. Yes, yeah. I have.
Yeah. Well, imagine Gordon Ramsay times 10, and that's my CEO.
Stop.
And dealing with him directly can be very, very stressful. So she was one of the people on my team that I could always rely on because she was very intelligent, very dependable, and all that good stuff. And So having her leave was just like, it just sucked overall, even on like a friendship level, everything, it just kind of sucked. So that was definitely the worst for me. Losing that work support system, you know, just kind of sucks, especially if you're in an office. I mean, everybody who works in an office will probably know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that was the worst.
I don't have a workplace yet, but I can imagine. I mean, it's kind of nice to have someone in your corner during a high stress career or even a situation. It's nice to just be able to be like, yo, like I'm done with today. Like just being able to talk that out and have somebody in your corner. So that must be really tough.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is. And then to add to that, a couple more things. So which maybe I'll get fully on another episode, but like two more things that happened. One was that I went to a happy hour, you know, last Friday or whatever, and it was absolutely insane. Everybody got super drunk, including me.
I love it.
Yeah. And no, it wasn't last Friday. It was it this week? Probably. That's how hungover I was. I don't even remember the day. And so my crush was there. He came along. Obviously he works at the same company. He's my work crush, right?
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting because, we went out, we just had a couple of drinks, sat outside, had a couple of drinks and everything. Everyone got completely trashed, especially me, because, you know, I'm a person that, you know, at first I'm always just a little more cautious. You know, I'll just have like one or two drinks. I always say that. Like, I'll just have one or two drinks.
Right. You want to start off slow a little bit.
Right. And then, you know, somebody will order shots and I'm like, fine, I'll take one shot. And then, you know, shortly after that, it's like two shots, three shots, you know, more shots. And yeah, then I'm just like a giggling mess. Well, after that, we went back to his place because where the venue that we went to was like maybe 5 minutes from his house. So we went back to his place. Let's just suffice it to say things got interesting. And then the next morning, things were really awkward.
Oh, God.
At first, I didn't give a shit because I was so hungover that nothing mattered to me. I was like literally at my desk with like my sunglasses on, like
coffee in your hand. You're like, all right, let's get this day.
Starbucks in hand. Like just
I love it.
To make it through the day, literally. Because, it was a Wednesday, actually. So like Thursday, the next day I had to be at work.
Oh, that's rough. Right in the middle of the week.
Right, exactly. Super, super rough. So I didn't give a shit at all. But then after that, once everything kind of wore off, I was like, ooh, awkward. And I like having crushes, you know, because I just feel like it's like a weird thing for me. Like, I just feel like it's fun. You know, you have a crush, you see them, it's cute, whatever. But I hate, right. Like, it's like meeting your heroes, right? They always say, don't meet your heroes.
Oh my gosh, where that, it's like that awkward stage where you're like, do I say hi? Do I not say
yeah,
hi? Like, what do I do here?
I think that's cute. But then when you really get to know a crush, it's like not, for me, I'm like, I'm not that excited. I get bored really easily. So like, it's more fun for me to like look at a person and just think like, oh, this person's hot or whatever, and kind of
fantasize like, a little bit, you know, like, yeah, just like, oh, he's gonna be like this amazing person, and then you actually get to know him and you're like, okay, maybe not. So
yeah, it's not even that he's not an amazing person, it's just that I'm just an asshole and I get bored easily, so it loses its magic for me. So that's part of what makes it awkward, is like, I don't actually like you now, I just
you're over it. You're done. You're like, okay, on to the next.
And then the last little thing before we move on completely is you know, the pooper. So I released an episode not too long ago called The Pooper, and if you haven't listened to that, you should definitely go check it out. But basically, there is a serial pooper in my office. You might be thinking,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, you might be thinking everyone poops, but that's not the same. This person goes into the women's restroom, whoever this psycho is, and like literally takes a shit and spreads it all across the stalls.
Stop.
And then, like, some poor unsuspecting bastard will, like, go into the restroom and, like, scream because you open the stall and it's, like, a disgusting mess.
Oh.
And nobody's...
Like a poop smear all over the stall?
All over the stall.
Oh, like, no.
Everywhere you can imagine. So, nobody's been able to figure out who this person is. This has happened on and off since, like, last year.
Holy cow.
So there's clearly a cycle, because for you to do this, then wash your hands and then, like, go sit and just type away at your desk. Like, you have to be psychotic. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. Like, what makes you think that smearing poop all over the walls is okay?
Yeah, that's just not okay. Like, and also disgusting. And also, like, who are you mad at? Are you just, like...
Are you just doing for fun? are you mad at somebody? Like,
are you mad at the janitor? Are you, like, what is going on here? Like, it's insane. So the pooper striked again, and that's always a mass chaos in the office. It's just disgusting. It smells, and it's like, I don't know, that just sucks. So and you have to go and use the bathroom on the second floor, and it's just, like, inconvenient, and it's also just gross, and it freaks me out, because I'm like, this person, once again, is truly psychotic. So, like, I don't know.
It's just so unsanitary and so unnecessary, like.
And it could be anyone.
That's so weird.
Like,
they should, like, set up a camera outside of the bathrooms just to see, and then, like, I don't know.
They
just
did. Check. They did. But the problem is, like, it's a public restroom, right? So, like, in a way, like, it's an office, so, like, multiple people can go into the bathroom at the same time. So it's kind of hard to still pinpoint and accuse somebody. But
gotcha.
It's like, I don't know, like, there is a camera and there are cameras, but so far nobody's been able to figure out who's doing this. And
that sucks.
It's like, it could literally be anyone. Like, anybody who, like, oh, hey, good morning, I'm just like, it could be the pooper.
You just don't know who's lurking, and you're like, all right, which one of you is it? I got my eyes on all of you.
Exactly. So yeah, it's so weird, and it could be a guy, because I feel like, you know what, like, it could be a girl, could be a woman, but it could be a guy that's just like going into the bathroom doing this in the women's bathroom so that nobody figures it out that it's a guy. I don't know.
It could be, you never know nowadays, honestly. You just never know with people.
Yeah, you don't know. I have a theory that it's a CEO, but
oh my gosh, what a plot twist. All of a sudden it's just the CEO, and everyone's like, okay, who do we take this up with? HR?
I know, right? Like,
like, what's going on? How do we do this here?
But yeah, that was the worst. Yeah, that kind of concludes it for me. It's pretty much a, you know, sucky week. But yeah. So
I hear ya.
Yeah, so Valentine's Day is coming up, which is a sucky pivot. I'm doing actually a little bit of a Galentine's Day this year, because
me too. That'll be fun.
What are you doing exactly?
So my friends and I, who we all live in the same apartment building, my roommate is actually, she has a boyfriend, but the two other girls that live upstairs and a girl from my high school, I was like, we're all single, let's just do a big Galentine's Day. So we're doing some face masks, doing our nails, and just taking badass pictures of ourselves and being like, damn, we're freaking hot. Like, nobody can touch us.
That is awesome. Being able to do a little bit of pampering and then maybe take some thirst straps.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Are you guys doing for Galentine's Day?
My friend is actually coming down. She's in Delaware, so she's coming down, you know, driving down here, and then we're actually going to go out to the beach and lay out and have a good time.
That's awesome.
See some sights, drink some drinks, and hopefully get really, really drunk. And find some adventure.
I love it. I already love it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm bound to get into some kind of trouble, but it should be interesting. And I'm excited. And I love Valentine's Day, not only the couple aspect of Valentine's Day, because I think that can be cute.
Yes.
But I also love Valentine's Day just to see all the singles, because I think that that kind of comes out even more. I love, like,
100%.
Because I feel like that's when you really get, like, everybody kind of advertises the fact that they're single too.
Yes.
And so you meet a lot of interesting people that are just like.
And sometimes you meet just honestly some good friends. Like, I remember last Valentine's Day, I got broken up with, and it was like literally the day before Valentine's Day. And I just went out with my friend. We went to a party at the time, and I met so many different people. And honestly, I got some good friends from it. So it's an interesting time.
It is an interesting time. Especially during, you know, COVID and everything too. It's also, it's not going to be exactly the same, but it's still very interesting. I'm interested to see, like, the people online that post too.
Yes.
Their interesting stories and Snapchats and whatever, Instagrams. Because I find that fun. And I'm personally, when it comes to relationships, not that great of a person. So I love to stir the pot.
I love it.
So I will be commenting under those posts and just, you know, having fun
a little bit.
Yeah,
we love it.
Yeah. But you mentioned dating in general, and I know on your podcast when I listened, you talked about, like, even that last relationship that you were in, like, fighting it through the pandemic. So, like, yes. I definitely want to hear more about just that general perspective, because you're back on the market now. You know, I want to hear about, like, what that's like. I mean, obviously we have those virtual dating sites and all those stuff, those are already in place, but just even going out on a date, like, what does that look like now? And
yeah, it's definitely interesting. So my ex-boyfriend and I actually met on Tinder, ironically enough. But both our hometowns were actually like 30 minutes away from each other. So I kind of knew of him when I was in high school, and we met on Tinder, and then we started talking for a little bit. But our first date, he ended up coming to my hometown, and we had to stick 6 feet apart because this was in the high time of COVID, like, shit ton of cases, like, everything was like locked down.
That was brave.
Yeah, so we ended up we parked our cars next to each other, and we were just talking out of the windows for hours.
Oh, that's so cute though.
Yeah, that was our first date. And then we ended up walking with our masks and staying 6 feet away. And we ended up going and watching the sunset at my old high school.
That literally sounds like an episode of The Bachelor hometown.
Doesn't it? Like... Doesn't it? Oh my God. I was just, now that you say that, it actually does. Like 100%.
Yeah. And just speaking of that, I mean, are there any, like, TV shows? Because people ask me this all the time at work. They're like, what have you been watching, especially after a weekend? Like, I know tomorrow I'm going to get that question like 10 times. Like, what have you been watching on Netflix, or are you watching anything new? Because everybody is kind of looking for new things to watch, right, on their downtime. Are there any new shows or movies or anything that you've been watching lately?
So I'm a huge fan of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, so I watch those. This is going to sound so funny, but I can't sit through a movie. I will ask questions, and I will want to know the answer, and I want to find it out before it actually happens, so I can't sit through a movie.
No, I can never watch a movie with you.
No, like, I have to ask a question. Like, literally, I'll be with my friends, and they've already seen the movie, and I'm like, oh my God, why is this person talking to this person after they, like, just broke up? Like, what's happening? And they get so annoyed with me, but it's fine. It's whatever. But some of my top shows, definitely New Girl. Love New Girl. I probably have watched that.
New Girl's a classic, yeah.
New Girl is such a classic. I've watched that probably almost 100 times over, probably. I watched that show so much. I also watch Baby Daddy. I don't know if you've ever heard of that show.
I feel like I have. Who's in that show?
Oh, I don't know her name. I don't know any of their names. I'm terrible at actor names. But one of the girls, one of the main characters, she was on Dancing with the Stars. She has short hair.
Yeah.
She was like on the Jonas Brothers show.
Yes. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. And now I have to Google it because I need to know. Hold on.
I know the main character is a pretty well-known actor too, and I can't. Okay, let's see. Oh, her name is Chelsea Kane. We got John Luke Bildo. I have no idea. I butchered that last name. Derek Theller.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I don't think it's the same exact show that I was thinking of. But yeah, I've seen this show before. I've seen like the first season of the show.
It's such a good show. It's like a good, like, you know, sit around, do those coloring books that we mentioned earlier and just watch that while doing them.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Anything else?
Oh, there's another show I watched too. It's going to bother me that I don't know it. Let me look at my Hulu real quick. I got to put the people on to my good shows.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I watch Grown-ish. Grown-ish is a good show.
Okay.
I've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That one's a good show too.
Another classic, yeah.
Honestly. So my roommate and I, we used to watch Love Island. Do you know that show?
Yes, I do know that show, and I actually watch a lot of YouTube. So that really popular guy, whatever his name is, that became kind of semi-famous afterwards, but him, Francesca, and whoever that guy was.
Harry.
Yeah.
I can't remember his last name, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Harry Jowski, I think, or something.
Yeah.
I see him a lot on YouTube because he hangs out with a lot of YouTubers now.
Yeah. I think that's all I have really that I really binge and watch a lot. Oh, America's Next Top Model. I don't know why, but
you love the classics. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just full of the classics.
No, but those are all great shows. So I've been watching Good Girls a lot. I've been watching that over. If you
is
haven't
that heard. A good show, I wanted to get into
it's
it.
So good. Are you kidding me? It is beyond. I mainly watch it for like that guy. He is so like just sexy and I don't know, his whole swagger that he has about him, I just love him so much, and that's mainly the reason why I watch it. But the show itself is so good.
I'm gonna have to get into that.
You need to check it out.
I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, okay, I could get into it. And honestly, yeah. I totally forgot about it until you mentioned it. And I was like, oh,
Manny Montana. Yeah, he is just, the whole show, the whole premise of the show is great. I mean, just to give a little taste, you know, these four women who are all moms, they, you know, they all have varying life circumstances. Is it four or three women? I think it's three women. They all have various life circumstances that they're going through. And they basically, the youngest one, she works at a grocery store. They decide to then, you know, to solve their financial problems, rob the grocery store. And they actually pull it off. It's insane. They pull off robbing the grocery store and they, you know, get the money and everything's fine until they realize, because gangsters show up to their house, is, you know, that store was just a front for or money laundering was going on at that grocery store. So basically the money that they stole belongs to that gang.
And oh God.
By that time they had already spent the money, a large portion of the money, so they had to get it back or you know, suffer the consequences. So from there, it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. And they get into a pretty dark world of interesting circumstances, but it's funny, it's adventurous, it makes your heart pump. It's like there's romance, there's everything you could possibly need in the show, and I just love it so much.
Oh my gosh, that already sounds good to me. I'm in. I'm gonna watch it later.
I'm glad. And yeah, I've been rewatching like Parenthood and things like that. If you've ever never seen Parenthood, I recommend, you know, you check that out too, because it's just a feel good show. What else? I miss rewatching The Office. I used to always do that. And Parks.
Oh my gosh. I actually didn't see the last season.
Are you kidding me?
I know. And I told my ex, and he was like, we're sitting down and we're finishing this. And I literally cried at the end. I want, like, okay, Jim and Pam are everything. I love their relationship. I think it's the cutest thing in the world.
It is. It absolutely is.
It's adorable.
Yeah, I love Jim and Pam. I think Dwight is so hilarious.
Oh my God.
I think everyone is so hilarious. And yes, the ending will definitely make you cry. It's just, I don't know. It's just such a, again, another feel-good show that just makes you laugh. And, like, I feel the same way about Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is really good, too.
I've never seen that show. Is it good?
If you're a fan of The Office, definitely check out Parks and Rec. It has the same sort of feel to it, but, they do it in a different, unique way. And it's just this, you know, just as funny. I don't know. I love it. And you will definitely be laughing and have your, you know, tear-jerking moments, too. And yeah, 100% recommend Parks and Rec.
Okay, you're putting me on all the good shows that I need to get into. So this is great.
This is, you know, escapism to me is really, really important. Yes. And it's another way for me in terms of self-care, because I think anything that you can do, whether it's like the coloring books, like you mentioned, you know, pampering yourself or hanging out with someone else, or, you know, watching a good TV show or movie, no matter what it is, if you can kind of get out of your own head, I think that's just so important and healthy to do.
I don't know. It's kind of like, it's like mending your mind and your soul, just having that little escape where you get out of your own head. So I completely get where you're coming from. Like, I will do that with my shows. That's my escape too.
Absolutely. I do that. And I write too. I like to write creatively. So, you know, I pretty much go back and forth with, you know, one of my writing partners, and we come up with storylines and we write together, and it's so much fun. So different things like that, get creative and, you know, whatever you can do to get your head out of the frame of thinking about all of the things that you could possibly be worried about right now, which is like a million things.
Yes.
It's so good for you. So yeah, it's been such a pleasure having you on, Caitlin. I mean, I've learned so much just through talking to you and hearing your perspective. I feel for you. And I think that I feel for everybody who's in school right now, and who's especially in college and going through this whole experience. It must be really tough, but I think you sound like you are definitely making the most of it. And I hope that everyone is too.
Thank you so much for having me on. I feel like we've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm so glad it happened. And it's really refreshing to be able to share my perspective with people my age. And that's my whole thing about my podcast, is that I want to make sure that people who are going through this and going through college alone, they're not alone. You know what I mean? Like, if they don't have that supportive system of having those friends, my goal is to be there as their friend through their voice, you know? So.
Well, you are a voice of your generation, Caitlin. And, you know, again, your podcast, I think, not only speaks to the other people who are in your age group, but also to people outside of it, because it helps me relate to, you know, college students and everything that they're going through, and all the challenges they might be facing. I think that's super important for everybody to know how hard it is and all the struggles that you guys are going through, so we can better understand each other. But yes, if you are in that age bracket and you are going through the same kinds of things that Caitlin mentioned, I think your podcast is extremely helpful, and you're such a pleasure to talk to. So definitely tell everybody where they can find your podcast. And if you have any of your social medias that you want them to follow, definitely let everyone know.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me again. I honestly, this was so refreshing to just be able to talk about it. And so everyone can find me on some of my socials. So my Instagram is coffeine_pod, so coffeine_pod. And then my TikTok and my Twitter, they are at just coffeine pod, all one word, so coffeine pod. And so yeah.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. Thanks so much, Caitlin. Again, such a pleasure, and you are welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much. We'll have to collab for possibly an episode on my channel too.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would be honored.
Yes, we'll definitely have to make that work.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, there you have it. That concludes our episode this week of Stressed, Depressed, and Anxious. Please do go to the website, stresseddepressedanxious.com. Leave me your comments. You can also leave me a voice message as well on your thoughts on the episode, because I definitely want to hear from you. You can also follow me on social media, Twitter, SD_anxious, and Instagram, SDAnxious, to leave me your thoughts as well. And don't forget to go and check out Caitlin's podcast, The Caffeine Podcast. I love it. I subscribe to it and 10 out of 10 recommend it. So again, please do go check it out. It has been such an honor and privilege to record for you this week. And I really hope that you enjoyed the episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm wishing you a day, month, week, year free of stress, depression, and anxiety. As always, love you all. Bye.